vet our sponsors. We don't just take their money and run like a Butterbar Lieutenant lost on a land nav course. Are you finally ready to plant your flag and claim your territory? Maybe it's time to use that VA loan to buy a home. Or hell, maybe you're looking to refinance and put some extra cash in your pocket for more questionable life decisions. Either way, the Veterans Mortgage Source, powered by Canopy Mortgage, has your six. Look, buying a home or refinancing can feel like getting overrun on a bad op. Chaotic, confusing, and full of obstacles that make no damn sense. That's where Corey and his team come in. They're like the QRF of home loans, ready to pull you out of the chaos and guide you to the best program for you. And trust me, they'll answer all your questions. Yeah, even the dumb ones. Whether you're a salty vet or fresh out of barracks still trying to figure out where your TA-50 went. Great service, solid rates, and a team that actually understands the military life. That's why all of us here at Veteran Trash Talk trust them to do right by every veteran in their family. Ready to lock it in? Give Corey a call or shoot him a text at 808-699-7874. That's 808-699-7874. Don't wait. Unless you like overpaying and getting treated like an FNG. The Veterans Mortgage Source is powered by Canopy Mortgage, LLC. All loans are subject to credit and property approval.
What's up, Trash Talkers? Listen, it's impossible to fight, okay, if you don't know what you're fighting for. Does that make sense? Like, if you're in the dumps and you're, you know, you're struggling with mental health, things of that nature, it's going to continue tearing you down, all right? Because you're consistently trying to fight something, which is that demon, which is usually something from the past, right? Maybe that why needs to be fighting for your future. Let that be your why. Get the hell up and start fighting for your future. Stop fighting things that happened in the past. Easier said than done, right? Go seek help. It's okay not to be okay. A lot of people need to hear this. You are more of a warrior and a fighter if you stand up and say, hey, this has to stop. I need to go seek help. The stigma, everything has changed. It's okay not to be okay.
And so my honesty cap is dedicated to a little, we'll call it a public service announcement for civilians and other people in the military. There are a few people that you should always take their stories with a grain of salt. Vegans, CrossFitters, and special operations guys that tell you that they were special operations without being prompted. The first thing they say is, yeah, I used to be soft. Right. The only unicorn in that entire group is like a special operations guy that was like a vegan and did CrossFit. That guy's probably going to stay quiet for a little bit longer because he's confused as what he should talk about first. That's the only reason, right? Anybody that says that they were soft without being prompted or without it being like a normal part of your communications is probably either an enabler or going to tell you a bunch of stuff that's not exactly true.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What's up, Gruntworks Nation? Big Earl. You heard Dave talk. You heard Buddy talk. Now, Buddy's all about, you know, he is a Green Beret and he's Special Forces and yada, yada, yada. But he will not tell you that unless, you know, he really, really likes you and he's made dinner for you. However, what Veteran Trash Talk does is we bring a lot of light to the veteran community, the first responder community. We promote that what we're doing well, all right, whether we're running for office, we started a business, nonprofit, all those things. Veteran Trash Talk is a super clean page. We got Gruntworks if you want to go there and raise a little hell a little bit. But we are here to promote veteran-owned businesses. So the show you are about to watch is a veteran or veterans or a spouse of a veteran or a child of a veteran that's doing great things in the community, and we need your help promoting them and getting them all the success that they need. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
This is the Veteran Trash Talk Hour, hosted by Nick, Dave, and Buddy. Real warriors making fun of other real warriors. Try to not get triggered.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What is up, Gruntworks Nation? Welcome to Season 3, Episode 2 of the Trash Talk Hour. Special guest today is retired Army Captain Joshua Payton, CEO of Veteran Golfers, and joining me as usual are Buddy and the Big Earl. Happy Saturday.
Veteran Golfers.
Association.
Veteran Golfers.
Yeah. Association.
I'm not a ranger. I wasn't able to save a rest.
Dave can't pronounce words that have an A in them.
One job.
Yeah, that's why Dave couldn't go to and pass Ranger school, because every time that's he got why. To acknowledging the fact that a Ranger is a more elite soldier, he was like,
I'm not giving 110% and then some. Nope.
No, I don't even give anything that's got an A. I don't do it.
No.
Just get it out of the way. Now,
that was
right?
My first question. That was my first question of the day. So,
well, that should be your answer.
Ranger tab versus Ranger regiment. Is it okay to say Rangers lead the way if you only have a tab?
Yeah. I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I tell everybody this. I mean, this is the thing that I'm most – one of the things I'm most proud of in my entire life was making it through Ranger school, you know? So
Well, Ranger school is a leadership school. So, of course, if you've gone through Ranger school, you should be leading the way in your unit. I mean, unless you're one of those guys that got his tab and then just kind of was like, well, I did it, so now I don't have to do anything else to to prove that I got one. Like, so.
And they still got promoted, though.
Yeah, those of you tuning in, thanks for watching, sharing your Saturday with us, or listening on the podcast later when we upload the audio, if we ever upload the audio, if our producer does his job. But he's a Marine, so it is what it is. But we get on pre-show, and we make sure our audio and our visuals working, and, you know, Josh said, hey, which one are you guys all go to Ranger school? It's like, not all of us.
Start the show now. Start the show now.
Start your fucking show now. Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting when you call yourself a Ranger, you're Ranger tab. And, you know, a lot of time, depending on who the company you're in, you have to make that clear distinction, right? Ranger tab versus Ranger regiment. But the other question that I had was, is it okay to have a CIB and not have an EIB?
No, absolutely.
I mean,
not.
It's okay if you got out specialist.
Yeah. But now they're bringing both together, right? The CIB.
Yeah, you got
EIB
the gold one. You got the gold one.
Yeah, no, that's what we needed. That's what we needed is a new a new badge.
Ever since they gave the cock and ball badge out, it was like, well, now we need something better, because now the Pogues are wearing a stupid badge. Like, we gotta. Yeah. Like, we got to one-up them somehow.
Well, no,
there was always a phase where people would prefer to wear their EIB because they didn't do shit overseas or vice versa.
There's not a lot of people that have a CIB now. I mean, there's not a lot of people that have
I'm talking about back in the day, brother.
But, like
our Baghdad deployment.
Yeah. Our two Panther, like our op tempo was so high, you know, you're getting back and you're like, honestly, I don't remember, you know, too many EIB lanes being run during, you know, window of time that we were deployed all the time. You know what I'm saying, buddy?
Yeah.
Yep.
I got there in 2004, and then prior to deployment, we only did one. I got there right when we were starting. It was about a year in. I was lucky I got mine, but then we didn't do EIB again until 2000.
Yes, you guys should have gone with Two Panther to the Sinai Peninsula, done EIB in Egypt.
Dude, we were like 12 years old, buddy. Yeah.
What do you get like a cartouche, like an EIB cartouche kind of thing?
No, you just get to do like 12 and a half or 13 laps around South Camp and then and then go back to your shitty chew and... But then you get to go down to the Red Sea and look at titties on the beach, because they got a topless beach. I will say that the ones that were down there, you didn't want to see very often. So
not that great. Thank you guys for having me today.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, we'll we got a front. We're going to do something a little different here, but nobody really cares. It's a dumpster fire. We got our scripts all fucked up.
We're all messed up.
I spent like 25 seconds on that script while I was golfing yesterday. Actually, I was waiting on a tee box, fucking backed up, and I'm sitting. Oh, I'll just write the script right now. So we normally do our conspiracy and have a little fun. But I'll do a really quick Book of Earl because it leads into what Josh is doing. So Josh, if you've ever listened to the show, the Book of Earl is like should be your Bible. You should live by it, breathe it. So this one, it's a repeat one because we've done 600 shows, but it's that time of year again where pretty much my entire weekends are gone to my kids' sports. And thankfully, my oldest can drive now, so I don't have to drive. I don't have to go 5 hours early to a cross-country event, which is fucking brutal because it's only an 18-minute race. So there for 4 hours. No, it's over. So, I've said this before. Your kids don't have to play sports to be successful, right? They don't have to. However, they should. Okay? You should have your kids in sports. You should have your kids getting punched in the mouth, losing, failing at a young age, right? That way they learn right away that there's always somebody better than them. There's always somebody more hardworking than they are. And if they want to step up to the challenge and become good, right, then that's going to build them. And if you look up the stats, Dave, you can use AI if you want. I believe it's 95% of the Fortune 500 CEOs have a sports background.
No, I looked that up. It's true.
I think it's 65%. Have a college sports background. And something that I was really excited to get Josh on the show about, which was the lead into the introduction, is, you know, there's certain activities, you know, just being active as a veteran, even active duty or whatever, doing something that, you know, is rewarding but also punishes you, right? For not, you know, and golf is one of those things, right? Golf will absolutely humble you. It's a ball that does not move. You're staring right at it and you can't hit the fucking thing straight, right? Like, it's like all these great things that you're able to do in the Army and, you know, as an infantry guy, and I just got to hit this ball. I mean, how hard is that, right? And then the best thing about, my favorite thing about golf is you assess your own penalties, right? And I always tell people, if I want to do business with somebody, I'll take them golfing. And if they cheat, I'm not doing business with them. Because it's literally the only sport where you're supposed to call yourself out for cheating. Like, it's like, oh, I move the ball, it's a penalty, right? Then I just watched it on TV today at the FedEx St. Jude where Fleetwood took a backswing and he said, hey, the ball moved. And nobody would have saw it. Like, you assess your own penalties. So I'm really excited to find out, what gave Josh this idea, where he's been with it. We got our good buddy Dan Dexter. He's playing in the VGA at San Antonio right now. Been on the show a few times, a financial advisor. So we're cheering for him down there in San Antonio. But Josh, welcome to the dumpster fire. Kids should play sports, right? They should be getting knocked down when they're young. And when they're older, when they get knocked down, it'll be easier to get back up. Just remember that, Book of Earl. But Josh, welcome to the dumpster fire. What got you into the VGA? What is it? How do people join it? Just give it all. How do people help out? What do you got going on?
Yeah, well, I want to, before I get into that, big girl, I was with Coach Urban Meyer last week. And not in the bar. The president had just made an announcement that they're bringing the Presidential Fitness Award back to back to schools. And I think Urban Meyer's he was doing a interview on Fox Sports, and basically said, you know, why did we ever stop that? I think all of us kind of remember push-ups and sit-ups and all the kinds of things you had to do when you were trying to get a Presidential Fitness Award. And I think that kind of leads into competition. It can leads to camaraderie.
Oh, damn it.
It leads to other things that like golf. It just, I think physical fitness, especially for kids, is very important. And I also think,
what the fuck?
There you go.
I dug my shit up when he said that.
I think sports is really important. I think sports is important for soldiers. You know, that's how I built a lot of camaraderie with my soldiers when I was you know, a platoon leader and a commander. You know, I used to love competing in All-American Week, you know, playing in football and basketball. And, you know, I played for the Fort Bragg All-Star team against Magic Johnson 1 year. That was pretty crazy, you know. Like, so I think that sports, you know, really, especially for kids and especially for soldiers, it's a way that, you know, that you can build your confidence and build teams, you know. And so it kind of leads into the Veteran Golfers Association a little bit. I'd gotten in a vehicle rollover incident in 2011. At the time, I was attached to the 18th Airborne Corps. So I was the Curtis liaison, the Curtis Regional Liaison Officer up in Erbil, northern Iraq. Wasn't much going on. Definitely not like Samara when we were down there, you know, in 07, 08. And, you know, we were we were providing convoy security for the Secretary of Defense at the time, Robert Gates. And we were moving at high rates of speed. My driver lost control of the vehicle, hit some sand, and we flipped like 15 times. And so they medevaced me to Longstuhl at you know, three fingers on my right hand were severely severed. So, you know, I get medevac to Longstuhl, and then ultimately to Walter Reed. And I spent about 2 years at Walter Reed trying to save my right hand from amputation. I got an opportunity to meet this group called the Sloot Military Golf Association. And
awesome people.
And they, you know, they had this little driving range in Olney Park, Maryland. We go out and, you know, hit some golf balls. And, you know, I think at the time we did like six lessons mm-hmm. from a teaching pro. And then they gave you a set of golf clubs. And so now I had a brand new set of golf clubs, these TaylorMades that were, you know, itching to, you know, get out to a golf course. And so, you know, a group of us guys just, you know, started playing, you know, golf with, you know, against each other. And so we had like this little, you know, we were playing for hot dogs at the time, you know, and you know, it was a lot of fun. And so I got a chance to play for the Wounded Warrior Ryder Cup team in 2013. At the time I was a commander in the 508th. You know, I was a HHC commander at the time, for, Colonel Tim Watson. And so we took 12 combat wounded, vets, from the United States. And, we went over to Royal Lytham St. Anne's in England and played against, 12 of their combat wounded vets. And, we got our asses handed to us, man. Like the handicap system over there was wretched.
Bunch of sandbaggers.
Oh my God. The sand, you could stack the sandbags over there like cordwood, man. Like it was pretty rough. But you know, a buddy of mine, who was, Second Ranger Regiment, Ranger Sniper, Captain Joe Cayley, we were flying, he was on my team. We were flying back from Heathrow and we said, you know, we need to find some other vets, you know, that love to play golf and, you know, eventually go over there and kick those Brits' asses. And that's where the VGA was formed. So 2014, we put together the Veteran Golfers Association. We founded it, you know, right outside of Fort Bragg, a golf course called Anderson Creek. I don't know if you ever
got Davis Love course.
Yeah. Get a chance to lose some golf balls over there. So we started in 2014, created the nonprofit, and then started tournaments in 2015. So we hosted our first national championship at Pinehurst No. 2. 2015, we had about 300 members at the time. Nice. And then we've kind of gone, you know, this is our 10th year now, which is even crazy to think. It goes by so fast. You know what I'm saying, Nick? Like, I just remember yesterday just struggling to even get this thing off the ground. And, you know, so we've hosted our championships at some pretty amazing venues, Olympic Club in San Francisco, Doral down in Miami, Baltusrol in New York. This year is our 10th championship, and you're talking about your buddy playing down in our Central Region Championship down at TPC San Antonio, which is going on right now.
He's playing right now.
And that's where they host the Valero, Texas Open, and we've hosted the Greenbrier, it's just pretty incredible. So the way that the organization works, pretty straightforward. $76 a year to be a VGA member, for $1,776, pretty straightforward. And then once you become a VGA member, that opens you up to about 2,000 golf tournaments that we host all around the country. We have a chapter in every state. We have about 300 volunteer leaders that run those states for us. Their job is to go out and put tournaments onto the schedule and then execute those tournaments. So right now, the season runs from September 1st to August 30th. Right now we have our regional championships going on. So we have the West Region Championship is out in Salt Lake City in a club called Wahali. So we have about 220 players out there that have advanced from their state championships to compete in that regional. And then we have about the same number, about 220 players that are in the Central Region competing at TPC San Antonio this weekend. So, they're out there grinding, man. They want to make it to Olympia Fields in Chicago. So, we're pulling for them.
Nice. I got a minus 17 on San Antonio. No big deal.
Yeah, I crushed. I'm minus 22 on Golden Tee. No big deal.
Yeah. That's my best score on Golden Tee.
Yeah. So, like, talk a little bit about what you've seen with the camaraderie, what are the ranges of people that are joining and playing, skill levels, and then how do they get to you? And then let's say you're not a veteran, but you just really, really, want to help. How do they help you guys out? So two part question.
Yeah. So I we have over 35,000 members, that go out and compete. What I tell everybody is it's more about the camaraderie than it is the competition. We have, flights. Basically, when you join the VGA, you have to establish your VGA handicap index. We don't allow outside handicaps like a gen handicap from the USGA. You have to play in three VGA events to establish your handicap, and then we flight you according to that handicap so that you're competing against essentially like skilled players. And once you have your handicap, you're kind of off to the races. You can play in any event, as long as there's space availability. If you're traveling, you can go to Hawaii. We have chapters in Germany, Bahrain, Australia. Nice. Anywhere you want to go to that there is a VGA event, you can compete in that event. And so you earn points depending on how you place in that event, and that can get you into our Armed Forces Cup, which is kind of like our version of the Ryder Cup, and then it gets you into your state championship. So depending on how you do it, your state championships, you can advance to the regional championship, which is going on right now, and then we have about 20 players from each of those regional championships make it to our national championship each year, and that's free of charge to them. So all they have to do is cover their travel to get there, and what we try to do is give them a four-day PGA Tour level experience at one of the nicest golf courses on the planet. So that's pretty much the program in a nutshell.
Now, is that nice. Is that final event on TV?
This year is, yes. Yeah, our first year, this is going to be on Fox Sports. So we're really excited to have that. And, just highlighting on the camaraderie piece. And, you don't have to be a good golfer. But, really, the thing I'm most proud of, Nick, in the last 10 years is we've only lost two VGA members to suicide. You know, that's too many, but I, you know, but as you guys know, we're losing a lot of guys and girls to, suicide, and I just find it tragic, man, you know? And so, I think what the VGA, kind of does is it allows you to set goals for yourself. Like, I want to break 100. I want to make it to a state championship. I want to make it to a regional championship. You know, it allows you to set goals. And then what I think it also does is it puts you around other like-minded individuals. So, like, when we left Two Panther, or when you retired or whatever the case may be, we kind of scatter and, you know, across the country, and you lose your tribe, right? And so you're not putting on your uniform. You're not doing PT every morning. You know, they're not telling you to be at a certain place at a certain time. And really, you're just not around your brothers and sisters in arms anymore. And I think that's really, you know, the human piece of the VGA is, getting you back with your brothers and sisters again.
So, other than the tournaments and what other types of events do you guys have? Do you guys have like lessons or pro? Like, if somebody like say is a beginning golfer, they just got a set of clubs and they're like they want to join the VGA and like you know want to go take golf lessons or events where they can go talk to a pro golfer or a golf pro. You guys have those as well, or is it just tournaments?
We don't have that. No. What I would kind of say is we're kind of like, if you could imagine like the PGA Tour for veterans, you know, once you have a skill set, you know, you at least you got to know like the basic rules of golf, right? The etiquette and that, those types of things. But once you have that, that base knowledge and the base skill set, then I would say, you know, look us up. You know, we've got, you know,
Buddy and I are disqualified at this point. Yeah. Nick, I think you'd be good.
Do you allow for breakfast balls?
No, I think that's
brunch ball.
Thing.
What?
No,
lunch ball then becomes a brunch ball. Then there's a dinner ball. All of a sudden,
there's also some snack balls in there somewhere.
Maybe like during your practice round, not during a VGA competitive event. That's another interesting thing. Like, you know, like you have. You know, you've got sandbaggers and you have reverse sandbaggers. You got ones that think that they're better than they actually are, but those are the ones, you know, that kind of pick up those 5 to 8 footers. You know what I'm saying? Big girl, like they just kind of go, oh yeah, that's good. The other, one of the interesting things about the VGA is, you know, we make you putt everything out. So you can't, you know, it's, you got to.
No gimmies. What if you hit the stick?
No
mulligans.
You hit the stick. That's good.
Everybody's handicap went down when COVID hit because they put those foam cups in there because it stopped you from spreading it. And so, like, you just be like, oh, I hit the foam. It was good, you know? So, yeah.
That's a thing. That's a thing.
What Josh
really?
Is talking about, for those of you who don't golf or don't understand it, we brought up sandbaggers earlier. Those are people who they post bad scores and they'll never post their good scores. So that they'll be like a 12, 13 handicap. And then they'll come into a tournament and shoot a 75. Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, okay, douche, you know, and it's like that. That's cool. And then I have to coach people into stopping being reverse sandbaggers. And I tell them, like, especially friends, I got a buddy who was in, he was in Deco in 2P, and now he does muscle activation technique. They work on Bryson and do all that stuff for those guys. And, and he goes, he's always carding these like 71s and 72s. He's a really good golfer. But like, when I go play with him, I'm like, dude, you have to start putting. Like, you have to start making those, because when we play in tournaments, you have to fucking make them, right? And now you're coming into the tournament and you're a 1 handicap when you should be a 6, right?
Right.
Because they're giving us a 5-day footer. So, yeah, you can really, really hose yourself by cheating in that way.
You can. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you know, if it doesn't matter how good of a golfer you are, you know, you know, but if you just enjoy the game of golf and you want to do it around your brothers and sisters, I really encourage you to look us up. You know, you can follow us on social media at VGA Golf. You can go to vgagolf.org, sign
Chris,
up.
Put that in the chat.
And the other thing is, we also allow family members to participate. We have a family member division. So basically, if you're eligible for USAA, you're eligible for the VGA. You know, we don't require a DD-214 or anything like that. And a lot of people ask, why don't you do that? And really, at the end of the day, like, if you go out and you lie your way through a golf course or 4 hours and try to tell some stories of some things that you did not do, I encourage you to do it somewhere else, because, you know, our community will call you out.
You're going to get exposed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get exposed real quick, though. Especially that works when you're doing it with civilians or whatever.
It would be bad enough with just regular golfers, but golfers that are also veterans are
veterans.
Gonna be like,
Me and my buddy were lying at Myrtle Beach team, telling everybody we were Blackhawk pilots. And then all of a sudden this beer gets bought for us. And like, we're like, oh, there's two gentlemen over there bought you a beer. I'm like, oh, and they're like, oh, I heard you talking. Yeah, we were Huey pilots in Vietnam. And we're like, oh, we gotta go.
Thanks, guys.
I want to make a disclaimer. I do have a Bronze Star, but it does not have a V device, big girl. So
yeah, there you go. There you go. You got the I deployed as an officer award. So
thank you. Thank you.
So, they all got
I missed the Bronze Star train by one deployment each time. So my first deployment in Samara, they gave squad leaders and above got Bronze Stars in Charlie Company.
Yep.
And then the next deployment
that was deserved. You know,
they deserved those for sure. The next deployment, the platoon sergeants and above got Bronze Stars. And then the next deployment, it was command teams and above got Bronze Stars. So I'm like, I just kept missing the free Bronze Star by one. Like, son of a bitch.
Well, second deployment, everybody got a CIB.
Well, the fake CIBs, yeah.
2 miles away. All of loyalty, you all got CIBs now. You're good.
Yeah, we did 106 CIBs in one day. And I'm like, I was mad. And I remember old Kirk over sees me with my I just got like my head down, you know, with this formation. And he's like, what's wrong, man? I'm like, Sergeant Major, you know what's wrong. He's like, what? He's like, I was like, you read that report, right? That this write-up for this award, for these awards? He's like, yeah. I'm like, we should be firing everybody, not giving them fucking awards. So we were in continuous combat or contact for 6 hours, and not one person maneuvered to destroy the enemy. Like,
right?
We should all be fired.
Some JRTC time.
Goltry had 2 Purple Hearts before he even got his CIB.
And a Silver Star. His Silver Star was approved before.
Dude, you had to prove you were shot at and you returned fire. Like, there was no, you guys are all getting shot at? Okay, cool. You're not getting a CIB. Yeah. Like, you have to actually engage the enemy.
But did he have his CIB? That's really what I want to know.
No.
I don't think Goltry had his CIB, no.
He's a battalion commander in basic training right now with a long tab. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. You know, if you get a chance to see, you know, all of our T2P brothers, just tell them I said H minus and hope everybody's doing well.
All right. And absolutely. I'm going to join you guys this year. And then we'll do an event at my club in Valencia where we just did the US Open qualifier.
I love it, man. Yeah, we'll love that you're getting involved. Don't lose too many golf balls. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Yep. You too.
Thanks,
brother.
See ya.
All right, Chris should jump on for the conspiracy. We have another person on here. Yeah, this is a weird show. This is new.
I know. It kind of threw me off.
Yeah, you didn't even follow your own script. I had, like, read the whole bio. I had notes. And I was like, I guess I'm not introducing
him. I got flustered. I made a mistake, buddy.
Yeah, so, hey, it happens. You get bored, frustrated, do something stupid, and he's got you. The Iceman. The Iceman cometh.
That's how he gets you.
Yeah,
this is actually, but I don't know. Chris is not paying attention, obviously, because he never put the website up in the chat. He's probably taking a nap right now.
He's probably bowling.
I do want to talk about this, though.
Chris might be in a snooker tournament of some sort or some kind of like crazy.
He's playing a video game right now. That's what he's doing.
Dave didn't have this in Germany, but
no, we did.
Yeah, but there is.
But we did sports like crazy in Germany. Like
if you go on Twitter, you'll see outrage about this getting brought back. About like, oh great, now kids don't have enough to worry about, like in all the pressures of life, and now they have to go get embarrassed because they can't do a pull up. Like, yes.
Yeah. Or you could make them do a pull up.
Yeah, or we can, you know, bring, you know, physical fitness back into being a well-rounded freaking individual. Like, holy cow. Like, I think that's why I love free speech, because if, like, you know, any one of my family members or whatever,
I think the only kids it could affect is like kids with like learning disabilities and stuff who are already having issues that could be like an added pressure. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about just the average kid who just doesn't want to participate in sports, but like, if you are a child who's like facing like learning disabilities, you're already fucked up. And then, you know, something like that. I'm just playing devil's advocate where I think.
Are you saying that they can't learn to run?
No, absolutely can. I'm just saying it could add to like Nick just brought up the, I think all the kids should do sports.
Dave, I've seen some interviews on Saturdays after college football games. Mm-hmm. Kids with learning disabilities can do a lot of athletic shit.
Oh, I agree.
Especially from Alabama.
Yeah.
Or Auburn.
Yeah.
Or see, like, how did that play happen? Man, I threw the ball. It went in the air. He caught the ball.
I ran.
We got 6 points.
I do question how a lot of those football players pass college. I noticed he's touchdown. they're giving interviews. I was like, oh.
Go dogs. You know, I don't know. That being said, like, it, you know what? The thing is, even with the presidential fitness award,
schools can only do so much,
but parents have to, like, you have to let your kid go out and play. Like, if you're letting them, like, if you're using a television or a video game to babysit your kids and you're not forcing them to go outside and play and do like normal stuff, and you're hovering over them because what if they get hurt and what if this and what if that, you know, we've talked about it before. It's the same. It's like the reason that kids have such social anxiety now is because they're not exposed to society, because their parents shield them. They don't even order their food when they go out to eat. Mom orders it or dad orders it. Like, right. Because they can't talk to a waitress. Like,
I forgot that there's a term for this. Megan and I had this conversation with
Hubbard, or helicopter parents.
No, there's a term for the kids that do that. That literally it exists. Like, they'll go to a store, they can't like order. They're talking to a waitress and they just like,
yeah, but that's because they've never been forced to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I made my kids order food when they were like 7 years old.
Sex change.
Yeah.
No. Order your food. Are you hungry? Talk. I'm
like, yeah. You don't want anything? Or I can order it for you, and then you're not going to get what you want. That's what I want to give you.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's great. No, and I mean, it's, you don't, we're not going to get into that when we can, I guess. But, you know, there's a level of parenting. You can be a jerk as a parent, even though you're trying to do the right thing. But yeah, I mean, like, my youngest daughter will get stage fright sometimes. I'm like, you can order your food.
Yeah.
Like, can you order for me? No.
No. Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah. No.
No. Call her ma'am.
But anyhow.
Call her sir. Be nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Holy cow. You want to buy something? There you go. But again, like, they don't. And, well, we talked about what Nick is doing for a living. You know what I mean? We at this point, the military has been forced to make virtual reality experiences for adults in the military because they haven't had any actual experiences in their life to know how to talk to people, or, you know, and it's like, that's a problem, and it's a problem with parents. It's not a problem with kids, or kids, and kids do what they're taught to do. Yeah, but it's not their
It's the advancement of technology that's just affected every. I think there are positive things to technology, but like, you're absolutely right. Like, we didn't have those. Like, we didn't have cell phones. Like, most of us got them maybe when we were like 17 or 18. It was nothing. It was go outside and play. And it was you couldn't even receive a call when to come home. You like the street lights came on.
On that same thing though, Dave, kids these days don't know how to research a fucking thing.
Google.
What do you mean? They just type it in the chat GPT, dude. That's what makes it even worse.
Before AI, before AI grew as much as it did, like my kids, they don't get treated like, you know, all these other kids where they're babied and everything. If they want to know something, I'll ask them. Did you look it up? No. Yeah. My son,
I'm saying, though, it's readily available for them, Chris. They just go on the internet, which was like not a thing when we were growing up.
Do it. They don't.
Yeah, but going on the going on the internet will get you things like the Earth is flat. Like you can't just you have to actually go to
that. I'm saying.
Yeah,
we didn't have that at all.
Well, like, here's a prime example, Dave. This is something that just happened recently in my house. I told my kid he needed to go weed eat the yard. He goes, "Well, it ran out." I was like, "Okay, so figure it out." Well, I don't know what to do.
Just leave
YouTube.
Well, did you ever teach him initially how to do it?
Oh yeah, he watched me.
Why didn't he know how to do it?
Yeah, bad teacher. Yeah,
bad teacher, but dude. Then, bad typical teacher. Marine.
That's besides the point.
Kid can't even read.
Even then, though, he has the answers in his hand, but they don't think to do that. There's such a like we've become such an instant gratification to the extreme, where it's just feed them the answer, tell them what to do instead of go look it up. Because what we're retold is kids, figure it out.
We've been made lazy, especially in America.
No, I do that. I do that. I do that my leadership coaching, and I don't go full. I don't go full. You know,
teach them how to figure it out. Don't.
I don't go full disaster where all of a sudden we're just generation that's just lazy. There's been every generation has lazy people that do nothing with their lives.
Yep.
And every generation has people that didn't take advantage of a technology. People who didn't, you know, say, "Hey, I'm not going to jump on this bandwagon because it's not good." Well, then you just stay in the dust, homie.
Well, my argument is it's not that generation's fault. It's not that generation's problem. They're only doing what they've been. The standard that we have allowed them to have is what they're running with. So we can't bitch about their lack of ability to do something when we're the generation that allowed it to happen. And we were like, well, I don't want to be too hard on them because that, you know, and they didn't really fail.
Every generation has that, right? Like our parents used to be like, "God damn it, what's up with this generation?" You know, and now this generation, we're like, "What's up with this generation?" Like they all go, I think this is the craziest cycle where like the most shift has happened, like most socially extreme. And everything, just because of the internet and like AI and all that. Like it's completely different now, but
it's a complete revolution. It's a complete revolution, just like when we went from the industrial age, you know, and transformed to a more modern society.
Yeah.
Now it's now you're having an information revolution where it's like this is brand freaking new. Like and it's crazy. So
Neuralink's gonna be there soon. We're all gonna have chips in our head and
speaking of chips in our head, we might as well go to a conspiracy. We might as well cover one.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's going on in the world?
So this conspiracy, I only watched the video once, and it's actually from Buddy. So he's a little bit more equipped with this one or more informed. So what we'll do is, since we switched up the entire show, we'll let Chris play the conspiracy, and then Buddy will talk about it, and then he can hand it over to me, and then, you know, Chris or Nick. All right? So let's play it.
And attack for play it.
There's a staircase in New Mexico that defies logic, structural understanding, and leaves the Sisters of Laredo convinced they were visited by an angel. Let's talk about one of the greatest unsolved feats in woodworking. I've studied structural engineering at Yale, moved entire buildings in the Saudi desert, and welded enough steel to know when something's not supposed to be standing, but is. That is why I need you to hear this story. Let's set the scene. The year was 1878, and the Sisters of Laredo had nearly completed their Gothic Revival chapel. But the choir loft, which was 22 feet high in the air, had no staircase. The architect had died before designing one, and no one could figure out how to build one that wouldn't eat up the precious space in their little tiny chapel. So what did the sisters do? They prayed, of course, a novena for 9 days straight. And on the final day, a man arrived. No name. He didn't even give a name. No wagon full of lumber, just a few hand tools and a donkey. And he offered to build the staircase, and the sisters let him in. He worked in silence. No apprentices, no blueprints. No one even saw any timber deliveries. But the wood he used? Now, y'all, that is where things get strange. Because decades later, samples were analyzed. It was spruce, yes, but not from New Mexico, because spruce doesn't grow in New Mexico. But it was also not from the Rockies, or from anywhere, actually. According to Mysterious New Mexico, the exact species of spruce used in the Laredo staircase has never been scientifically identified anywhere else in the world. And then there's the build itself, a perfect double helix spiral with 33 steps and no central support column. Need I remind you that Jesus was 33 years old when he was crucified? Also, the staircase had no nails, no glue, just wooden pegs and joinery tight enough to bear the load through geometry alone. At this, in the 1950s, someone tried to reinforce it. They added metal brackets between the staircase and the adjacent pillar. Seemed smart at the time until the brackets started damaging it. Turns out the staircase had been engineered to move slightly, like a spring under pressure. Those braces choked its natural motion and stressed the structure. Guess you don't add braces to a miracle. When the staircase was complete, the man vanished. No bill, no goodbye. He never even told the sisters his name. Some say he was Saint Joseph, the patron saint of carpenters. Others say he was a French master trained in secret spiral joinery. But even today, no one can fully explain the physics or the origin of the wood. All we know is, one man walked in with a toolbox and a donkey and left behind a miracle of craftsmanship. This is Bill Pretty. There's a staircase in New Mexico.
Very close to you guys. Well,
I know. Yeah. Next door.
Like you should go visit. I thought it was pretty interesting. Mostly because there's no nails, no, they just wooden pegs. The part where, you know, they had tried to figure out what kind of spruce it was. That's also very odd. But if the nuns are telling the truth and they really didn't get any lumber, that's a lot of lumber to not get any lumber delivered. And then the double helix, I've seen some other stuff on this. The double helix also has some, I've seen some other shows where they talk about it and the and DNA strands and how it's very similar to a DNA strand and how a DNA strand is put together. And it's got some parallels to DNA as well. So that's pretty interesting. But like I said, the fact that a carpenter showed up with a donkey,
no material,
it just seems very Jesus like, if you will. And you know, you can't really tell if, like, I mean, nuns get bored, they don't have anything to do except for nun stuff, you know. So maybe they made up a story, I don't know, but I don't see a bunch of nuns building a stairway and then just randomly be like, you know what, we should do. Not give credit to this dude and just make some stuff up. And it's going to be unable, like the fact that it's over 150 years old. It's over 150 mm-hmm. years old. And even now with modern science, we can't figure out like how it's worked. And it's been studied pretty almost a lot of engineering colleges have tried to study it to figure out how it was done, and they can't figure it out. So I think it's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Whether Jesus came because he was like didn't have anything to do for a couple days and built a stairway, I don't know. but it's just pretty interesting. Dave, what do you think?
I don't know. Yeah, you sent it to me 2 weeks ago. I thought it was pretty interesting too. What I was really fascinated by is like the materials supposedly don't exist in that region, you know, in New Mexico. So like that's really weird. And then from my understanding, he didn't even have any materials when he showed up, and then it was just done, you know. I'm going to go with ancient technology, and I'm going to go with aliens because of the whole DNA thing, you know, because there's a lot of conspiracies that are out there.
Was an alien
thing with aliens and pyramids and all that stuff, but we can't explain. You know, we always go back to this ancient technology or aliens, you know, or in this case, spiritual, maybe like a Jesus or somebody, you know. I'm going to go with aliens, ancient technology, 50-50.
You know, there was a documentary about.
No, we don't.
Already. Well, Steve Carell starred in it. It was Evan Almighty. He built an ark without nails. Lumber just showed up. Maybe the guy just showed up and he was told to build it, just like Noah did with the ark and all that stuff.
And I mean, so it could be.
Like,
so you
like
think that it's a spiritual, project manager.
It is the stairway to heaven.
Spiritual project manager. I like
it's
that.
The stairway. Hey, no stairway denied.
And the fact that, I mean, it's also the fact that it springs. Like it's,
the way it's built.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's pretty amazing.
Just like pyramids can't be explained by like modern,
as far as the,
well, slaves built the pyramids.
They can be explained. Sorry. Like I want
to, as far as the woodworking itself goes, it's completely possible to do it without nails. You just have to be fucking like a master at joinery. And it's completely feasible.
Fucking Chris could do that shit.
Oh, fuck. No, I couldn't. But I've seen shit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but nobody's seen this. That's what I'm saying. Like nobody's ever. They can't even master carpenters can't figure out how it's done. It's like a woodworking Rubik's cube, if you will. For me,
listen, I saw a 7-year old.
Yeah, I can't solve a Rubik's cube
the other day.
So that's what I'm saying. For me, it's like my own personal wood Rubik's cube because I can't solve a Rubik's cube.
Yeah,
yeah, it's too lazy in the pattern. So
true.
Yeah.
It's math.
I can't either. I get to like, if I get 6 in a row lined up, I'm good. I'm like, all right.
Complete a side. Done.
One side.
So just, Chris, just what was it then? Well, real quick, Chris, spiritual, aliens, ancient technology.
No, it was Steve Carell.
I don't think that's a possibility. It's
1878.
I mean,
something like that. Yeah.
I mean, if he's God, he was alive.
Maybe he's Jesus. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe Steve Carell is Jesus.
You also know that movie, he didn't really build an ark, right? With CGI.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
That wasn't real. Yeah,
yeah, Russell Crowe.
I told you it was a documentary.
Yeah.
True. You did say it was a documentary.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, you know, Chris kind of takes my point that I always take is that, you know, Hollywood desensitizes us to it, so they make these movies about people building arcs and stuff like that. So it's just not strange 100%. To us, and because the aliens control movies. No, this is 100%, you know, divine intervention. I absolutely it is. And again, you got the whole Mormons who think that Jesus came back to America to talk to them, right? Like, I don't have to believe it, but I mean, I don't know. And the way that church started, I pretty much doubt that Jesus came.
Yeah,
told them to start the way they started. But I think they kind of done a 360 a little bit.
Trying to do their thing, though. You know,
trying to do their thing. You know, is it possible that there was just somebody that you know knew that the nuns needed this and was just a master craftsman, right? Was he, you know? How do we know that they can't find the wood? Is anybody like AI this? Did anybody
supposedly see, like, they've done like they researched the wood, like the materials basically, and it's just not available in that area.
Yeah, so it's definitely aliens, you know, spiritual, you know, like an angel came down and built it with a meteor. Probably why they don't know what kind of a wood meteor. That's what I'm gonna go with, the wood meteor.
Have samples of this wood, because like technology nowadays, you could take a splinter and like give
you can scan it with your phone
longitude latitude from where it's from.
Yeah.
Why don't they know? I think they know where it's from. I think they know where it's from. It's just not available in New Mexico.
No, she said it wasn't available anywhere. It's not like not from any known type of spruce.
It would be wild if it was like from like Egypt, you know, or something like that, or you know, from the land of Canaan. That would be pretty wild. But yeah, like everybody knows that listens to the show, all like 8 serious followers that we have. You know, I'm a spiritual person, and I believe in the Bible code. Right. It's to the point of where it's like it's too complicated to there's no way people could have done this and made this all these connections and links and codes thousands of years apart. Right.
Yeah.
For it to be that perfect. And so there is a number there. What'd you say? 33. There's 33
steps.
Yeah. It's also the numbers for the Masons. That also some Masonic shit. So who knows?
Right.
So
they use it for the same reason. Jesus died when he was 33 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the Masonics are, they don't, I don't, aren't they? Well, that's a whole different conspiracy, but
aren't they what?
Are they super religious though, or do they? What do they believe in? I thought they believed in some other shit.
Yeah, they're very religious.
Yeah,
right. But like, once you get like to the like higher levels and shit, what do they pray? Are they Christian?
Yeah, yeah. And then the Shriners is who you're talking about. You make it to the Shriner level. And those are the ones that they literally have hospitals that nobody has to pay
for. They're involved in a lot of shit. Yep, yep.
Like,
well, Shriners and Masons are two different things, I think.
Right. Yeah, become a Shriner from the order. So yeah.
Well, I don't think those tips suck.
We'll talk about it next time.
I don't know. I would say that the nuns did pray. The nuns were in New Mexico and prayed and fasted for like 9 days before this dude showed up. So it could be plausible that they were just in like some kind of hungry haze and they built it. Didn't even know how they did it because they were just
I like that.
Out of their minds.
They were hangry nuns.
Yeah, just if the only thing that could have stopped him was a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Masons can believe in a higher, they have to believe in a higher power, but it's not tied to any religion.
Yeah.
That's
we don't know that because it's secret.
So then that brings me back to, yeah. Anyway, we'll
look on Buddy's
face. That'd be a good conspiracy one day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
we had a lot of Freemasons in North Carolina, but that's not the real shit.
Is this near Santa Fe?
What?
Is that where this is near? Is this near Santa Fe, this church?
Yeah. It's in New Mexico. Everywhere is near Santa Fe in New Mexico.
Now, New Mexico's kind of big, actually. So
it's closer to Santa Fe than I am in Tennessee.
Yeah, so. Definitely there was
Loretto Chapel.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have been in there. So I think I might have actually toured it and seen it. So
did you walk up the steps?
I think so.
If only you would know. No, if only you would have known.
Yeah, for sure. I went there and played some golf. Speaking of golf, yeah. I wish he could have stayed on and we could have got more into it and heard Buddy's introduction. We didn't get to do that.
Answer some of the questions that the chat had.
I didn't
what were the questions? Maybe we can answer them.
It's actually in Santa Fe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've been in there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
So the golfing, if anybody listening and watching, golfing is something you should try to do and pick up. Like it's a lot of fun. It's humbling. It's challenging. So if you're looking for something to do to get some sun too, to get outside, you definitely get a lot of that. But then you got not too much sun, or you'd be one of the weird people that Buddy talks about. Too much sun and too much salt. You don't
start building. Yeah, and if you don't eat, you'll start building stairways.
Yeah, you start building. Oh, and I do want to bring up this badge again that I have. I don't think Buddy has one, but
I mean, I didn't mine from high school.
Yeah, it's not from high school. It's from elementary school.
Elementary school.
Yeah, I didn't save it from there either.
But no, this is the first thing that I didn't dominate everybody at. Like I could, because you had to do the sit and reach, and I was not flexible. And I'm sitting here like this sucks. So I hardest part of that was just trying to bend over and touch a ruler, you know. And I'm like that was killing me. But you drive yourself, you push yourself to it. I think it's great that they're bringing it back. And then, again, I'm going to bring it back to golf. Dave knows this, and Buddy knows it. Chris knows it very well that I dominate everybody at everything. Right? It's like I pretty much just win no matter what I do. I'm pretty sure you guys can't even. I mean, I beat Dave in foosball, like so, and he's really good at that. And I beat him.
German.
He knows I beat him. Huh?
Well, yeah.
Let's
real I'm quick. Saying, how did you beat? Explain. Okay.
The game. I beat you with the Marine Corps.
We put nine to zero. And you beat me 10-9.
Yeah.
You had a 9-point lead to hit 10. So, yes. And I still got 9 and almost fucking.
I just had to score 1 before you scored 10, and it was close.
Yeah.
Hey, so hey Dave, have you ever heard of making it close?
Yeah. Making it close. Yeah.
So, no, but golf is just this. I love that. And then, you know, kids growing up in sports and learning how to lose, learning to defeat, just seeing people better than you, you know, and golf, there's a lot of people better than me. A lot of people. So it's, and I played yesterday and lost some money to those better people. And it's just
almost everybody is better than me at golf.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not good at golf.
Yeah.
I love it.
But get out there, enjoy some sun.
Hey, and then if you want a good laugh, go golfing with Dave. His stance is wonderful.
And then, buddy, you asked it. About lessons. So he brought up the Sluta Military Golf Association. Look them up. All right, you can join them. They don't get as much funding anymore. They're not as popular as they were during post-COVID and pre-COVID. So you sign up, and then you'll get a sponsor, which is somebody who donates. And if you're not near one of their SMGA courses, you'll have to wait until you get a sponsor. And then you get 6 lessons. Your kids get lessons if they want. Ooh, and my clubs are from the SMGA, and they are Stealth drivers and woods. So look up how much a Stealth 2 driver costs.
So I looked into it. Yeah. You do have to be a combat veteran, a combat wounded veteran for it.
Yeah, you just say a PTSD.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm going to look that up because I want to take lessons this year. Because now, the temperature is going down. Arizona, for the next 6 months is pro golf.
And it'll be a year. Yeah. It'll probably be about a year before you get picked up by a sponsor. So sign up and just be patient.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. Now, but if you're by a course, you might have one in Scottsdale because a big golf capital. There might be an SMGA course there. So you just got to ask them. Probably not in Tennessee, but whatever.
We have another one. I'm going on Friday.
Nice.
Sign up and go get an hour and a half lessons from a golf pro. That's one legit. Of my buddies and I are going to go.
Nice.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see how Dan's doing in that VGA tournament, the regional qualifier down in San Antonio. So excited for that. But other than that,
make sure you also check out bgagolf.org. And when you get good or even almost good, and then
events. In the chat, there is he talked about establishing your VGA handicap and having different flights. Is for somebody like me who sucks,
I'm sure you could join that shit though.
But he that's said, what I'm saying is they have flights for people who suck, or is there we'll take up to a 15 handicap or a 20 and that's
Is there a cap?
No, as long as you can play, you know, they will tie you to your handicap. That's what he
there said might be. There might be a cap in their tournaments. You might be in flight, C, that the most strokes you can get is 20.
Yeah.
There might be a cap like that. So then I can't speak for it, but there probably is something like that. Cause otherwise you'll have guys with 40 handicaps coming in there.
30.
Yeah, 30. Well, you'll get better. 30 to 20 is not that difficult. Yeah. You know, you start getting into the teens is when it starts. You have to start practicing to get to that. But I'm excited. I'm going to join the VGA this year. I kind of stayed away from it because I didn't really know it as well. See here. Megan says, just be careful.
I was just thinking about that.
You'll be okay.
look at Megan's post.
This is why I always drive now, Megan. This is why I drive.
Yeah, that was
shout
a 2P driver.
Shout out to you and Danny, bro. Shout out to you and Danny.
That was PTSD rearing its evil head.
That was epic.
That scream you let out, Chris, was something of a horror movie, bro.
Bro, I saw my life flash before my eye. I'm not going to lie,
I thought you died. I thought you were dead.
I was going out and on that fucking hard ground.
Like I said, if you see me running,
it was 4 days of drinking already. That was a whole week of partying.
Had I not fucking tucked and rolled, that cart would have landed on top of me.
I thought you were dead. I was running over there.
Patrice was all fucking to take care of my mother-in-law.
Dude, I couldn't. Hey, that the day that had happened, that was the night of the party, Dave, and I could not open the fucking I couldn't pull on the door or anything.
Yeah, it's not broken. I'm sitting here playing doctor, 69 noons in.
No, it's not broken. It was movable. Can you feel that? Yep.
He said we already been drinking for 3 days.
All right, squeezing your fingers because that's how you tell if you got a broken bone. The circulation stopped. You had circulation. You were good.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Buddy's going
down. CLS,
I got to get going.
I took CLS. I know these things. So
we should close this out, Dave.
Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. Today was real light, huh? It's because of our ban. VTT, man.
VTT band. Yeah, I mean, we were still across all the platforms. We were never below 10, really.
Yeah, so, post memes of Doritos.
Yeah, don't post memes that Doritos are crack, and then
yeah,
we need India and India and Pakistan to start shooting at each other.
That means you're promoting drugs.
Yeah.
If you tune in late, go to veterantrashtalk.com. That is our website, which has the links to everything. Today, I'm wearing the OG Gruntworks shirt. All right. I love this one. You can get that at shop.veterantrashtalk.com, or you can just scan the QR code there on the screen. Nick is wearing one of the OG original Veteran Trash Talk shirt. That was the very first shirt we ever made.
I had that one loaded.
Yep.
I'm just wearing one of my combat diver shirts.
Yeah, no big deal.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. I will continue posting them.
Yeah.
And yeah, go to YouTube, give us a like, subscribe, and we'll catch you guys next Saturday.
See you guys later.